Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Carenza, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. You know, I think that how you found Organize 365, I think this is the first time someone is going to share finding Organize 365 this way, but it will definitely not be the last. So how did you find Organize 365?
Yes. So I found Organize 365 through my friend Holly. She has a business called HAP Organizing Solutions. And we actually go way back. Like we've been out of college for quite a while now. It's funny how time works, but we both went to Portland State University, and I think our husbands kind of knew each other through some circles. And then we all were, I guess, dating at the time and friends. But we were in choir together for one semester, and that was a lot of fun in college. And then we kind of just lost contact for a little while. Mm-hmm. And we were connected on social media. And I remember seeing her starting to post more things about organizing on Facebook. And I was thinking, what is this Organize 365 stuff? And like, what is the Sunday basket? What is the Sunday basket? And so eventually we decided we have an annual cookie party. And there was one year where we invited her and her husband and her son to come to our cookie party. That's just a fun casual at our house. And she pointed out some little organizing thing that I had at my house and was pointing it out to her husband. And then I was telling her more about that I was wanting to explore organizing. And then I think a while after that, then she got me to attend a Sunday basket workshop. And now I'm hooked.
Yeah. So this is Holly Perez out in the Oregon, Washington State area. If you guys have ever been to Embrace, Holly's the one that comes literally only with a backpack. I still don't know how Holly does that. Like, she'll fly across country with only the backpack, and she always wears really big headphones. So Holly has come to a lot of our in-person events in Ohio. She's been a certified organizer for a long, long time. She has such a heart for the Sunday basket and how it can support people, especially working women in their 20s and 30s, I would say is probably what Holly focuses in on the most, but she is just so easy to talk to, so easy to work with. I am not surprised that you guys just kind of rabbit trailed into that conversation. And she's doing such a good job of sharing her passion for organizing and how it works in her everyday life. I mean, she has a full-time job outside of her organizing business, and she's a wife, and she's a mother, and a homeowner, and all of those things that it's just kind of a natural conversation with her, isn't it? It's not like, oh, Holly started a business and everybody knows about her business. It's just like exactly how you said it. It's just a natural progression, something that she's passionate about. And it just kind of slowly over time, you got sucked in.
Oh, definitely. Yes. And this was, you know, this was a couple years before the pandemic. And so I ended up being able to host a Sunday basket workshop at my house and, you know, invite other young professionals, well, now we're not so young, but other young professionals starting families to come by the house and just have kind of a parents' afternoon. And, you know, that's been a lot of fun to then have some of my friends that I can also, other friends that I can also use that same language. And, you know, they know that same lingo. And, you know, and we can hold each other accountable. Did you do your Sunday basket this week?
Can I ask you about your Sunday basket workshop you had at your house?
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you like to know?
Yeah. So like, how did you, and because I mean, nobody knows what a Sunday basket is. Like, how did you invite your friends? How many came? What was it like?
So I think by the time that I hosted the workshop, a lot of the friends that I got to come had heard me talk about it, and they had maybe seen my box sitting in my house. And so I think that helped a little bit, but I don't think that they had become curious enough to listen to the podcast or anything. But I think that I just gave them kind of a short information of just saying, it's so nice to be able to go through all my papers each week. And, you know, it's really helped my mindset to stay on top of everything when everything gets so busy. And so I think that I did lure them in with cookies. That sounds like me. So basically, unfortunately, I haven't updated my Instagram very much lately during the pandemic because I haven't been baking as much, but I used to do baked sugar cookies and so of cutout cookies. So I think I probably said, you know, I'm baking some cookies. We'll just have, you know, I think it was kind of more focused on moms of just saying like, we'll have a little mom's afternoon. So stop by, learn about the program. And we started out just with a 1.0 pocket. And Holly is really fantastic at meeting people where they are.
Yep.
So she really takes the time to understand each person's just life situation and like meeting them where they're at and really brainstorming like how can we utilize the organizing methods of the Sunday basket to really help your situation just be more balanced and help your life be more balanced and more productive. And that's what I really loved is that it was a small group. So I think that I had about two or three other people that came by. And so we just said, bring your laundry basket. And I said, you know, do not be embarrassed by what you're bringing. Yep. Like bring your purse that has so much stuffed into it.
Yep.
Bring your laundry basket, bring a box. And so, you know, my friends did that and they said, okay, I got no shame. Like, here's my container of this and here's my container of that. And I don't know what these papers are, you know, from my kid that was born 2 or 3 years ago, that kind of thing. And so that was a lot of fun. And at that time I didn't have a kid. But I just wanted to support my other friends that we were progressing in our professional lives. And a lot of them did have kids and just wanted to figure out like, how can I get on top of my papers? Because we have paper stacks everywhere.
I love it. So as a company, as Organize 365, like most of you listening to the podcast somehow stumbled across Organize 365. And then you're like, okay, Lisa won't stop talking about the Sunday basket. I'll check out the Sunday basket. Okay, it's $97. I'll just get started there. And then you start on your organizing journey. But yes, having been in direct sales and having been a stay-at-home mom and just trying to figure out how to get a handle on my home, like even just in the company, I'm realizing that yes, organization is a learnable skill. Like we say, organization is a learnable skill. And everybody's like, yes, it's a learnable skill. And we think like tying your shoe and riding your bike. And I have to say, no, it's more like learning a foreign language. And there's so much to learn. Like, yes, it's a skill. Yes, it is learnable. No, you're not going to do it in a weekend or a week or whatever. It's not a simple skill. And the more that I think about it, the more I realize, and this will be stuff I'm unpacking more in 2022, that there are categories that we organize. And the Sunday basket is one that you literally can get organized in a couple of weeks. But I also know that exactly what happened between you and Holly and your friends is how people truly start to go on an organizational journey. It usually involves at least one other person and sometimes a small group of people, just like you would join Weight Watchers together or learn to run so you could do a marathon together. Like it is fun to do things in community. And while we do those in the Organized 365 community, it also happens in real life and people that gasp would never listen to a podcast. Like there are people that don't listen to podcasts. And if you don't listen to podcasts, you're not really going to get the full experience of Lisa Woodruff because I am a teacher through podcasts. And that's why I have a certification program. We have over 100 certified organizers that do exactly what Holly does, which is meet people one-on-one. And you heard Carenza say that they learned the 1.0 slash pockets only. And you might be saying, but wait a minute, Lisa's never mentioned this. This isn't something we could do. Right. This isn't how I do it on the podcast. On the podcast, you learn about the Sunday basket, you jump into the Sunday basket club. It's all included in that one purchase. But certified organizers have partnered with Organize 365 and they can teach the Sunday basket in more chunks. They could teach just 1.0 and then adding on the 2.0. They can really customize your learning experience for you and your groups. And so they have a couple of different ways in order to teach those and to do more small groups. So if you're like, ooh, that's something that I would like to hear about also, then just go scroll to the bottom of the Organize 365 page. And there's a big pink button that says, look inside of the directory and find a certified organizer near you that can customize the learning to you or the small group of people that you want to work with. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes.
So tell us about the people who live in your home, because you said you didn't have a baby at the time.
Right. So it's myself and my husband. We're in our mid-30s. And then I have, she's about 18 months old, an 18-month-old daughter.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Is it everything you thought it would be?
All that and more. I had a lot of friends that had kids before me, so I knew the real deal and the transitions that happen very quickly at this age.
Yep.
So just when you have something figured out, then it's time to change strategies and change routines and
it's just never
change everything.
Grayson's 11 weeks. We've gone through 3 different sizes of clothes, 3 different sizes of diapers. Like, I mean, it's just constant, never-ending stuff management. Like, you're just in stuff management.
Oh, yeah. And at this age, it's been so much fun to just see how she's developing and starting to say words and, you know, duck, duck, duck.
Oh, how cute is that?
Instead of quack, 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 it's duck, duck, duck.
Oh, so cute. I love all the little things. And those are the things that kids say between they're like 1, 2, and 3 years old that become the words that you say in your family for decades and decades. Yes. And then your kids are like our age and they're like, why do you always say this thing? It's like, oh, because that's what you said when you were 2. That's like a family word. I love that kind of stuff. Greg and I are trying to figure out what Grayson is going to say that is going to become a word that we repeat forever. So you said that you decided to get organized. You were talking to Holly. She noticed your organization. You noticed she was in organization. What was it? It sounds like you were already a pretty organized person. If she was picking up on what you already had organized in your life, what were you looking for?
Yes. Yeah. So I was kind of one of those people that had a planner growing up and was really excited about my planner. But I started realizing as I got older that I couldn't keep everything in my head anymore. Mm. And so I needed to figure out something. And I was trying to progress my professional career. There was a point where I turned 30. I'm now 35. There was a point where I turned 30. And, you know, I was wanting to start to think about if we're going to start a family, we got to start a family and trying to get that figured out. And there was just so much in my head of wanting to progress my career and staying on track with that and progressing our home. We had owned our home for a couple of years at that point. And there was just too much in my head. And then I was having stressors of, you know, trying to figure out like, why isn't the baby thing happening? Because it had already then been a year or two later. And so that was stressing me out. And I had like so much emotional baggage and like emotional stress that I was going through. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to figure out like, why can't I stay organized? Because I feel like I'm now starting to maybe forget to pay that bill or staying up late just because I'm thinking about all the different things that I need to remember to do. And I'm an organized person. So what's happening? Like, why can't I keep up with everything?
And it's so interesting that you had that before you got pregnant and had the baby. So it was kind of that, you know, you turned 30, it was a couple of years into 30 and you're like, okay, there's a little bit more here that needs to be organized. Do you remember what you did first?
So I want to say it was maybe 2018 or a little bit earlier. Holly really helped me get the Sunday basket going. And I think I can't remember. But I feel like since she was posting a lot of things, possibly sharing some things, I think I might have been listening to her podcast pretty early on and like going back and listening to old episodes and as it evolved. So I've been following Organize 365 for quite a while.
I love it.
And I've definitely grown and evolved too. To see the journey. It's been so fun to see the journey. And so I started out with the Sunday basket, and then pretty soon after that, then she helped me go transition to the 2.0. So I think after, you know, after a couple months, then I really progressed with the Sunday basket 1.0 and got the kind of that weekly habit going, and then branched out to the 2.0. And that was life-changing as well. Like, just thinking about how can I organize the rest of the things that are in my head? And I see it there. So if I'm not going to do it, focus on that one this week, then I know it's there and I'm not going to forget about it. And so, you know, having a pocket just for what are the next books I want to read or movies I want to watch, you know, to, you know, I want to make sure that I'm donating to these nonprofits or whatever, or I want to make sure that I'm volunteering and that I actually schedule time to go clean books at the children's book bank or whatever that might be. And so it was really fun to just create that space within that box. And then she was telling me about these binders, and I didn't convert to binders right away. But I think from hearing her talk about binders and then listening to your podcast, I realized that I had so much medical papers that I needed to get organized. And it was overwhelming because I had seen one doctor and then I had seen a naturopath, and I just had so many different test results and all of this stuff. So what I did is I just went to Home Depot. I grabbed a bunch of clear pockets. Mm-hmm. I grabbed a huge red binder and I just started ordering by date so that I could just flip through all of my information. And that was incredible to have it all in one place. Like, seriously, I don't know that I would have a daughter. Like, and I made sure that I got a lot of sleep last night so that I wouldn't start sobbing, but I really don't think I would have my daughter if I hadn't learned those methods. And if I didn't have all of my information in one place, so that when we did decide to go other places, to advocate for my health, I had it all in one place. Incredible. Incredible.
Wow. And like I always say, just grab a binder, like just start by putting it in a binder. Yes. It is the putting the things in chronological order. Like I remember when I did that in my infertility journey, and I remember as you're putting those test results in, you look at them again. And I did naturopath and stuff like that too. And so I went to different doctors that don't even really kind of agree with the other doctors. So they're definitely not looking at all of the stuff that we're looking at. And you look in the chronological order and you start to see things and like, oh, well, maybe I should, you know, this test result goes with that one, or maybe I should tell this doctor about that thing. And you start to get more clear on your own journey when you put them in there in that chronological order. So, so glad that you have a little baby now. How exciting is that?
Yes. Well, and it was incredible because when we decided, you know, to actually go to a fertility clinic, that appointment was so much, it was more effective, I guess, because I brought in my documents and then he said, okay, we're going to need to do this test result, these tests and these tests. And I was like, well, with my previous doctor, here's these tests and these tests. And so he was able to flip through, document it down, and then just get me scheduled to the next step rather than, you know, I think we had to run blood work for just a couple more items. And then through progressing with other aspects, then I was able to bring the binder to the person doing this other procedure. And then they were able to say, oh, yes, I see that you have these images. These images make sense. Now I know what to do when I go in, you know, to remove the fibroid. Like,
yeah, saved you time, saved you money, but saved you time. Like, I would say, especially when you're in infertility or cancer or any of those things, like time saves you so much stress because the faster you get answers. And also, don't you think that those doctors took you more seriously? Like, it wasn't like, okay, here's our regular, we got to run this battery of tests and figure out where we are so we can figure out what the plan is. You immediately jumped to like meeting number three, where they're like, okay, so you have all this. I just need this little bit more of information so you and I could talk about this on a almost peer-to-peer level versus a patient that has no idea what's going on and I need to just start, you know, running every test possible to figure it out.
Yes. And it turns out, I thought that all medical systems with the mind chart, I thought all the mind charts communicated together. Because, you know, we're in the technology time. Like, that's what happens, right? And I realized, no, it doesn't. Depending on which provider I go to, it may or may not show up in my chart, or it may be connected through my chart, but it's 50-50 on whether or not the nurse and those professionals can actually have access. And then when you go to a fertility clinic, it's usually a private organization that has their own completely different system. So being able to have everything chronological printed out from all of those different visits and all of those different test results from, you know, probably at that point, five different locations by the time we had our kid, that was incredible and so important.
And the printed out. I mean, like, you're literally in the meeting with the doctor and they're saying, well, I think maybe this test, and you're flipping in your binder and you're pulling it out and saying this test, and they're holding it in their hand in black and white. And they go, yes, this test. And they're writing it on down and they're writing the notes. It's not even digital where you're like, hold on, let me get in my chart. I think that appointment was in February. Let me go back to February. Okay. Let me look at the doctor's notes for that. Oh no, it was January. Like, by then the doctor's like, I'm ready for my next appointment. Like, it just, the black and white of printed paper, I'm just going to keep saying it.
Yes.
It is so powerful. It just speeds communication. That's all it does. It speeds communication.
Most definitely. And one interesting thing that I found too, is that they wanted you to fill out, you know, all that paperwork again or past history. And so that saved a lot of my mental energy because I knew the exact page to flip to find that exact date and just write it in and move on. Cause it's a lot of reliving, right? And so when you're going through trying to advocate for yourself, but also reliving the experiences that you previously had, it was so powerful to be able to have my binder. And I almost feel like my binder, I never thought about it this way until now, but I almost feel like my binder felt like I had a superhero cape on.
Yes, and I was just thinking that as you're saying that.
Walk in and I would just have my big red binder. And then now actually, one of the people that did the successful procedure, I now have decided to go back to her just for my regular Well Women's exams. And she like remembered, she's like, oh yeah, you're the person with the binder.
With the binder.
That was really hard. And like, you advocated and you actually brought in your laptop with the images or whatever, you know, from the MRI. And if I hadn't had those images, she said, if she was telling the person she was training, she said, if I hadn't had those images and you hadn't brought the images to me, if you had relied on the faxed copies coming to my office, I don't think the procedure would have been successful because I could see the details of what you were showing me and you talked me through how the previous procedure hadn't worked. And I knew exactly what I was looking for. So I had to take extra time and do the procedure a little bit differently. But because I knew that history, like, we were able to be successful. So we'll explore that same concept, you know, down the road, if you decide to expand your family further. And, you know, and that was so powerful. So powerful. It's that. And I learned that from your podcast, right? Of that you need to be an advocate for yourself. Yes. And I took that to heart and I'm so glad that I did.
Well, and I think when I first started talking about that on the podcast, it was because I was advocating for my kids' education. And I knew there were dollars out there, but not enough dollars for all of the kids. And so you had to really advocate for whatever services you were going to get. So it's almost like you were trying to make sure that your child's needs were met, knowing that the schools in general want to meet all of the kids' needs.
Yes.
They don't necessarily have enough resources. So in that case, it's like there is only so much of the pie. But in the way that you're talking about it, and in the way that I think we're moving as a society right now, we now realize that doctors have a lot of knowledge. We need doctors, but doctors don't know everything. I think it used to be like, as a kid, we would go to the doctor and we'd be like, well, the doctor will know what's the matter with me. Like, just through osmosis. I don't know, because they have all the knowledge and I have none of the knowledge. But now I think we all realize that in education, in our careers, in healthcare, in everything, it's all a partnership, and that we need to bring to the table our knowledge and our research and our intuition, and then be open to the expertise and the experience of the person that we're seeking counsel from. And then as they're sharing their information, then we can make that picture, flesh out that picture and say, oh yes, I see what you're doing there. And I saw this other doctor over here and they were saying this. And I think, so I found that a lot as I continued to advocate for my kids and their medical well-being, especially as it related to mental health and, you know, ADHD and cognition type things. There are so many ADHD medications, but they affect every single body differently. And so I was able to go to doctors and say, I know that this is the generic of this exact medication, but it does not work. Like, you have to use the name brand of this one specifically in an ADHD medicine. I found the same thing with my husband. The generic of a, like a Prilosec generic did not work the same as the actual true Prilosec. Sometimes the generic works the same, but sometimes it doesn't. And chemically, I guess it's the same, but not always. And being able to say, no, 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 we do generics for everything, but for this specific thing, we really do need the non-generic form. And then being able to go to your insurance company and advocate for that. So it's a partnership.
Yes.
It's not a, we're placing blame or you don't have enough knowledge and I know, and you don't know. It's a, okay, you know, and I know. So let's come together and put all of the cards on the table so we can make the best outcome the quickest.
Yes. And it's interesting. Holly's kind of introduced me to the Enneagram a little bit too. And I think that I might be a 9, which is super interesting because I'm such a peacekeeper. And like, traditionally, I was just thinking about that as you were talking through. And it sounds like I'm just this most assertive person ever. But really, as I like stop to reflect on myself, I'm definitely a peacekeeper. I'm like, I'm the oldest in my family, but I always wanted to just make everyone happy and, you know, just whatever is best for the other person or like wherever they want to go out to eat or, you know, and all of that. And I do remember this one thing that that I would always hear kind of my mom especially say of saying, Krenza, you need to be more assertive, like be more assertive, you know, like talk to your teacher about this or like explain this to them or talk through. And so it's taken a while for me now in adulthood to really like, to really find that voice and figure out how to be assertive, right? From now that I'm realizing that if I am kind of a 9, then how do I still make sure that I'm doing things that are important to me or that prioritize myself? And then how do I bring situations up in discussion? So, right, I'm not the kind of person that would want to be so assertive in a medical area. Yes. To continue to ask the questions, but I realized that if I was going to get anywhere and we'd already been trying for 2 years, then I had to start asking the questions and I had to start doing my own research and I had to go on this journey. And so then I started finding more of a voice, which was really cool.
Did you ever do Gretchen Rubin's test?
Oh, I listened to her podcast. I don't think I ever actually took the test. I keep bouncing back and forth between what I think I am.
So the majority of Organized 365 audience members are obligers.
Yeah, that's historically.
Yeah. Greg is an obliger as well. And so obligers like will just be like, okay, whatever. All right. So if it's for the best of everyone, until you get to obliger rebellion, which is when they're like, you can push me no longer and I am not going to take it any longer. It takes a long time to get to that point. But I think that exactly what you're saying, Enneagram 9, probably 1s, 2s, 4s, 5s, obligers, all of these natural personality types are going to want to keep the peace and not be confrontational or have any kind of conflict. They're going to come in and smooth things over. But I love what you're saying is it's not like you're creating conflict or like you're asking for more attention to be put on you than other people. Like you are advocating for what you physically need in order to become a mother. And now that you are a mother, even though you're a peacekeeper, when it comes to that little baby girl, you're going to be like,
oh, yes,
except for her. And then like, don't even start with
and me. I have had her. Experiences of obliger rebellion. That's for sure. Don't get me wrong.
But oh, I love how this conversation is how you can take the, you know, having a binder is not confrontational. It's just being able to use a piece of paper to say, oh yeah, we've had that test, here you go. And then it gives more information for the person in authority, schools, doctors, whoever, to say, oh, okay, let me add that to my knowledge base so that I can serve you better, so that I can support you better. Versus saying, well, I had that test taken and I think that's not the test that I had for you. That can end up being more confrontational if the doctor doesn't think whatever, like paper takes that emotion out in addition to adding the credibility. So then it's like, oh, here's this paper. Okay, here's this paper. Okay, here's this paper. And it's not like you're making any kind of judgments or adding any extra emotions that don't need to be there.
I had an assistant say, oh, would you mind if we took your binder for a moment and can we copy a few of these pages? Because that'll be really helpful for us to have actually in your physical file here.
Yeah.
Yes. Or, you know, or scanned into your electronic file here for our office.
I have yet to hear anybody go into an office with a medical binder where the medical professional said, we don't need that. Every time people go in with any kind of a medical binder, they're like, where did you get that? How can I get more patients to do that? How'd you figure it out? What's the name of the company? Can we get, like, they're so over the top excited. They love information.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. So then you ended up having a baby. How exciting is that? Like, are you just loving motherhood and growing your family?
Yes. Yeah, I became pregnant in September 2019 and we had our little baby girl in June 2020. So I was starting my third trimester right as the lockdown was happening in March. I even witnessed, let's see, as I was taking the follow-up glucose drink of getting blood drawn every 3 hours, I even saw how that practice was evolving on how they were taking visitors. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll just check you into the elevator next hour. Oh, now we're testing your temperature. On and on. So it's been a wild journey, but I think just with this organized journey, I have also, let's see, I think it was 6 months after she was born, I was lurking the 100-day program, lurking, and I said, now isn't really the best time. I shouldn't sign up. And then I was like, wait, I should sign up. We are deep in the accumulation phase now. I need to do something.
You will be.
Oh my goodness. I'm like, I need to do something. And so I signed up for the January 2021 100-day program. And I went to planning day and I just said, let's see what I can do. Let's see how this goes. I have pretty much zero expectations on what I'll actually be able to get done, but I'm back to work. I'm a little bit overwhelmed with work and home and just getting into my new routine. So what can we do?
And how did you do?
So I made progress. Mm-hmm. I would wake up and I would, start pumping in the mornings and then I would just watch your little video clip. And I loved that it was like, I had enough time. That was just kid free, husband free. Sit, watch the video, think about what my next task would be. And so I progressed, but it was also really nice to know that I didn't have to necessarily get through it all in the first 100 days because it really comforted me that I had lifetime access so that if things came up or, you know, I don't even think that it would have mattered if I knowing the lifetime access, but just knowing that I could plan to do it for a few more 100 days and it would be okay.
and so you could see,
I just had to give myself that grace that I wasn't necessarily going to progress through every single day, but it would give me ideas and I would just do as much as I could. And just that piece that was brought by getting through the kitchen was incredible. Mm. And so my husband and I would kind of have a weekly meeting on Sunday and then I would say, okay, I have all of this stuff. Is it okay if we declutter and, you know, post to the front porch for it to get picked up or, you know, post to the Buy Nothing group? And is there are any of these items things that you really care about? And then we would kind of move on to the next area. But
awesome.
I haven't gotten through all the areas. My master bedroom is still filled with stuff. Different areas are still filled with stuff. But I have decided, you know, we don't know how our family will grow down the road. And so I have decided that most of the baby items are better to be used by a family and used by someone else now than to sit in storage for, you know, 3 to 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And then who knows, you know, with the styles or whatever new baby products come out, it's
you're
better for
it
to just be
stuff
with the family. And then there's so much community that there's a lot of gifting. So we've received a lot of baby clothes from other people that they're done with. And then I pass those on. And so I feel like I'm in a constant transition, right? Of, okay, we're done with this phase. Now, what's the next family? And so we passed down different things to some kids that are, you know, 3 months younger than Eva or 6 months younger than my daughter. And so that's been really cool. And I didn't expect, well, it's just like the giving aspect too has just been really cool. And so I'm just in a constant state of decluttering. And there's been moments where I've thought in the 100-day program, oh, I can just jump to organizing. This is going to be great. I have these containers. I'm going to do this. And then I get overwhelmed. And so reflecting before this podcast, I was realizing I need to go back to decluttering. And I bet if I just focus on decluttering and I don't focus on moving things from this area to this zone to this zone and moving, you know, and optimizing and all of this, I just want to jump to optimizing. But I'm now realizing I can't jump to optimizing. I have to finish decluttering my entire home. And so I need to get to the upstairs level. I'm really working on the downstairs level right now.
Like, and you're so right.
In our true story home.
Yeah, you're so right. Because you are in accumulation and you'll be heavy in accumulation until your daughter is at least 5. And I think that as you're talking, I'm realizing, I think this is why so many organizing programs really are just decluttering programs. There are whole people that you follow that all they do is decluttering. Like, you just keep decluttering. And when your kids are under the age of 5, literally they get into a size of clothes. By the time you would get it in an organizing system, they are in a different size of clothes. Like, what is the point? There is absolutely zero point whatsoever. Yes, you need some organizing systems, but truthfully, none of it lasts while they're under 5 years old. It is just your losing it on a weekend, which is why you create this organizing system that does not even get maintained until Friday, but at least you felt good Monday through Wednesday. And then you're like, oh, whatever. And you just move on. So you feel like you have to create these organizing systems just because you're like, there's no way this is going to last 5 years, but I'm just telling you, it's totally going to last 5 years. But then you do, like, once your youngest is 5 until like 12 or 13, you are in a heavy organizing season of life where you want to be able to say, go get the nail clippers. And everybody knows where the nail clippers are because that's the phase of life you're in. And then once your youngest is like 12, 13, 14, you'll be in much more of a productivity system. The organizing systems won't change very much after that, but I'll give you a tip.
Yes.
When you really want to organize something, and you want to set up a system that is going to work, we always go for the kids' clothes and the toys. We just do. It's like your natural thing. I've got to get a handle on that. I'm going to tell you to resist the urge and instead go do your bedroom and your closet. Because if you do your bedroom and your closet, you can get that organized and it will last over the next 5 years. But if you keep going back to her stuff, you'll feel good for a week, maybe 2 weeks. And then you'll just feel like, why did I waste the time? Like the 2 months that I spent organizing all the Legos by color. I really enjoyed the project. It didn't even last until by the time I was done, it was already undone. Like, it's pointless, people. We're all going to do it. I know you're going to do it anyway. And then when it doesn't work, just say, yep, that's right. Lisa said it wasn't going to work. I'm going to go organize my purse, my car, my bedroom, my closet, my bathroom supplies, anything that is only yours that you can organize. But until she's 5 or 6, don't even bother with any other area.
I love that. I'm already visualizing this, you know, 2022 of the sense of calm that I would feel if I had those adult spaces.
Yes.
Just completely under control.
Yep.
Because that's where we do most of our stuff shifting, right?
Yep.
So the visible areas,
shoved in your bedroom.
Here, stuff shoved to the bedroom.
Yeah. You're living in a storage room. Change that into a bedroom.
Yes. And I have done some sorting. So I have some sorting piles of this banker's box of stuff needs to go to this space. This banker's box needs to go to this space. And so I have a little side bonus area that I really want to turn more into a yoga room calm space where I can close these two doors. And then I can close my master bedroom doors. And then it's the rest of my house. So and it's going to be my little our little oasis.
I love it. And I think the other problem with organizing your bedroom when your kids are under the age of five is you do put everything in your bedroom that you don't want them to have. But it's also this mental transition during that time from all of the hobbies and things you used to do before you had children to what your life is going to be like with children. And there just is not very much time for the hobbies, but you're not ready to get rid of them yet. And that's why you end up sleeping with them basically. So until you get to the point where you're like, fine, this is the one or two hobbies I'm going to do in this season. And you take their rest and you put them in storage or you go ahead and let them go until a future time. That's part of why I think we end up living in bedrooms that look like our childhood teenage bedroom.
Yes. And it turns out as kids grow older, they get taller.
Yes.
And I'm noticing my daughter is now finding some of my hobbies. And finding my watercolors and, you know, finding my just different art supplies and different things that really aren't for children. Those are mamas. Yes. So where do mamas' hobbies go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go away for a while. Mama's hobby is now the baby.
But, you know. But one thing that I have found fun for her room is I've just said whatever can fit on her little hangers fits. So it's just a hanging double layer. Mm-hmm. Bars kind of a situation. And so I say, go pick out your shirt. And she points to the shirt and we take it off and she puts it on. And so, and put your diaper in the bed. So she walks over, puts her dirty diaper in the little garbage, put your dirty clothes in the hamper. So she loves being that little helper and understanding the routines. And so I think by doing that the 100 day program with Organize 365, it really started helping me plan for like, what are these different things that happen in different months and how can I watch for that? So then there's this time slot where I really want to appreciate her daycare teachers, her, what we call it, school. And so I really want to appreciate her school teachers. So then there's this like Monday, I think I figured out it's like the Monday after Thanksgiving. So it's like the very beginning of December where I want to always like deliver baked goods to her school. And then I identified another time slot in June where then I also want to send a thank you. And so just trying to think about those things and optimizing what things happen in what month has been so helpful in that planner. So I've gained so much, even if I haven't kept up with every day, I've gained so much of thinking more high level of what happens each month that I need to always remember to do. So I'm really excited about how that's going to help me in 2022.
Yay. So what do you think you have more of now?
Oh, so much. I have more calm. I have more space. I have more energy. My mind is less cluttered.
What do you think you have less of?
Definitely. I have less worry for sure. And I have less uncertainty. So our family really knows what's coming up for the week. And that's been so valuable. And I know what's coming up in the upcoming months too. In the next 100 days, really.
Wow.
It's awesome.
What do you wish you had known sooner?
I wish I had known sooner that I need to focus on progress over perfection. And I wish that I had realized that it's really okay to just do what I can and make progress.
What's your next step?
So my next step is that I definitely want to continue attending Holly's Wednesday night virtual power hours. So she started doing an hour virtual where you pay a small fee and then you log in and we all go around. It's a smaller group. All the participants go around and just stay with their top priority is to work on. And it really gives me that opportunity to do some of those things that I keep putting off, but really need to happen. And so it's so cool because then she'll set the timer for 20 minutes. We'll see how far we got in that 20 minutes. And then we'll either shift what we're working on or finish it out. And honestly, at that point for my time zone, like my daughter's already asleep. And so sometimes I gain energy from that hour and end up spending one more hour or another 30 minutes to just progress. And that's so exciting. And then my other steps are definitely to continue exploring my Friday work box and just continue that 100-day journey.
I love it.
And I'm going to prioritize those adult spaces.
Yeah. I think you'll see a lot. Advice. Yeah. I think you'll see a lot of progress very quickly that stays, which as you get into those toddler years, like being able to go back to your bedroom that's actually organized and where you get ready in the morning in your closet, you're just going to be like, okay, there's hope. Eventually my whole house is going to look this way. And right now these spaces look and maintain this way. And I think that will give you a lot of, a lot more peace. You already have a lot, but some of those days, you know, we have those days.
Oh yes.
And you're like, okay, let me just go look at my closet again. What advice would you give to somebody just starting out?
I would say start small. And just prioritize the areas that matter to you in this point of your life.
It has been such a pleasure to talk with you today. Thank you so much for giving us an hour of your time, your precious time without your little baby with you. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you, Lisa, and I'm excited about the future of Organized 365.
Oh, thank you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organized 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.